Retro. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun, a Halloween edition. And for those of you on SiriusXM, channel 204, don't worry, I'll take the mask off momentarily, and we'll get you'll hear my very Adele smooth sounding like pipes momentarily. But we figured, hey, it's Halloween edition, it's the Freak Show, we had to step up and in and bring it to get this party started. And we got a lot of stuff going on here in the late night hour, including some NBA basketball. We're on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers getting 8 points in this basketball game, 65-64. I'm also on the under, and I don't know. It's starting to turn into a little bit of a track meet right now, actually, at Staples Center, which I think might be the world's most famous arena. Not Madison Square Garden. I'm just saying that out loud right now. I don't know. It seems like there's more, you know, Staples Center. So we're on the Cavs. We were on the under tonight's baseball game. We were on Ian Anderson over 3.5 strikeouts. We had a smaller play on the Houston Astros, but spectacular performance from Ian Anderson tonight. How spectacular? 5 innings of no-hit baseball. Man, Don Larsen threw a perfect game in the World Series in 1956. You know, Doc Holliday threw a no-hitter in the playoffs in 2010, I believe it was. Other than that, we, you know, there's never been no hitters, and in the World Series, it would have been cool to like let Anderson try to get that chance and the opportunity to do it. He wasn't going to do it anyways. He wasn't going to get a no hitter, but you know, it's the modern baseball. It's modern baseball, man. Doesn't matter. Dude got a no hitter. You're taking you out of the baseball game, and that's how things are coming up for the ATL right now. So much that Snitker takes out a pitcher who's tossing a no-freaking-hitter to go to his bullpen, and they still win the baseball game. They lose the no-hitter, but they get the shutout win, and the Atlanta Braves are now 2 wins away from a World Series championship. Yet, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. It's a bullpen game tomorrow. Zach Greinke actually going to be starting, yet he won't, you know, he really won't go all that long. The Braves going to be going with their bullpen, and that's why we'll get into it. Listen, Jason B. Takafin's going to join us. All right, Jason B., we got a stacked show tonight. Mike Dettillier will join us from the Bayou. We'll talk Saints and Buccaneers and a little LSU coaching search. Brent Beard, our weekly SEC breakdown. Tony Finn, he represents the Freaks on part of the Friday Night Freak Show. Friday Night Freak Show has actually turned into a pretty normal, like Mike Dettillier, Brent Beard. We're getting kind of normal here on Friday nights. But Tony Finn, yeah, Tony Finn's a freak. So he represents the freak element of the Friday Night Freak Show. So a hell of a baseball game tonight, man. Like, if you didn't like that baseball game tonight, you just don't like baseball. As simple as that. That's real baseball. The Late Night Anger Management Class. It's the Friday Night Freak Show. Let's do this thing. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between kicking it. Shout out to everybody joining us in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in Southern California. We're going to break it down. Big game, San Diego State and Fresno State. Tony Finn will step up and in Las Vegas, Nevada. WagerTalk.com. We got Mike Dettillier going to be joining us from the Bayou. We'll talk some New Orleans Saints football. Saints and Buccaneers. Don't forget the Saints beat the Bucs twice in a regular season last year. Tom Brady lost to them twice. But then, of course, the Buccaneers beat the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs. And that's what actually counts, right, in the end. Beat them in the playoffs. So we'll talk NFL football with Mike Dettillier. Tony Finn will step up and in. We got Brent Beard. We'll talk SEC football. We'll focus in on the SEC. And, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Florida Gators are the world's biggest outdoor cocktail party. I don't know. I guess you're not allowed to call it that anymore. You're not supposed to. Like, what is the word, like, cocktails? Like, is that offensive now? Is that offensive? And speaking of which, so the Atlanta Braves right now, what a performance from Ian Anderson. 5 innings of no-hit baseball. But even though he had the no-hitter, they took him out. Why? Because he had already faced everybody twice. And it's just a new way of doing things. No pitcher. You see this in the regular season all the time. So Mr. Don Larson's record of the perfect game and a no-hitter in the World Series, I don't think anyone's ever going to throw a no-hitter, although it looked like tonight we're actually going to have like a team no-hitter. Houston better figure it out. If that's what happens, you get these American League teams in a National League park and they lose one of their bats, it doesn't help them, right? It doesn't help them at all. So we'll get you caught up to date with the updated numbers, MVP and all that. I think that Tyler Matzek is actually the most valuable player. This guy, he's pitched in 11 of the 13 Braves games, and he's been dominant. Like, he's the reason they beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers were coming back, man. If the Dodgers would have won on Saturday last week, they probably would have won Game 7. All right? So there's probably an if, ands, and buts were candies and nuts and everything else in between, right? But Matzek. Yeah, this guy's just money, man. Forget about money ball. It's Matzek ball. These guys, man, these guys had a losing record for 126 days. Jason B. Takafin, Mike Dettillier, Tony Finn, Brent Beard were stacked. This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Something. You trust someone who's been right on the money before. That's where we come in.
That's what we do.
But we just call it the winning edge to save time. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination.
What are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team work?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Right.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's the Friday Night Freak Show, a stacked edition of the Freak Show tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on in the late night hours. We got a lot of guests tonight. Jason B. Takafin will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about tonight's World Series game in the rain tonight in the ATL. A dominant performance from Ian Anderson. This kid's unbelievable. He's now 4-0 in the postseason. I thought it was a mistake at the time. I'll admit it. I thought it was a mistake to take a guy out that had a no-hitter going on. You know, you figure, especially considering you've got two more games and back-to-back days here on Saturday and on Sunday, and, you know, it's a bullpen game tomorrow. You're going to have to use your bullpen. So I was thinking, you know, if this guy's eating innings up and he's only, 76 pitches, what's the point of taking him out, right? What's the leave him in right now? But the thought process was they don't want him seeing any Houston Astro hitter for the third time. And that's the modern analytics of baseball. And that's why now, it's very rare to see a complete game in Major League Baseball now, even in the regular season. And why we'll never see Don Larson like Don Larson, who threw a perfect game in the World Series before. They just, you know, it's just the analytics of baseball. And quite frankly, even though a lot of this analytics is quite frustrating, the fact of the matter is, it's been working for the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are a very analytic team, right? So are the Houston Astros. But the Braves are a very analytic team, and all their analytics is it works. And you look at the way the Braves are playing baseball, National League Baseball, and they did the same thing against the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? It seems harmless. Oh, they scored one run in the first or second inning. You know, that's what the Braves do, man. They score early on you, and then they just hang on. And you always think, well, you're only down a run or two. It's okay. We'll come back. And then it's like their bullpen is just freaking dominant, man. Stanek, dude. Matzik's unbelievable. Will Smith has been money. Will Smith hasn't blown a save yet in the postseason. I like the under tonight. That was my biggest bet, and we hit Anderson over 3.5 strikeouts at plus money as well. That was nice. I should have ridden Atlanta. Just this game had Atlanta written all over it tonight. But I sort of, you know, I think Houston are going to win the World Series, even though I never really bet on them to win the World Series. I got the series to go 6, but we crushed that under tonight. We had Anderson. It was a nice feeling to have Anderson over 3.5 strikeouts and to back him, and then he pitched as well as he did. I believe we've got Jason B. Takafin now. Let's bring Jason in. And Jason, I'm admitting, and it's easy to say now, I could just keep my mouth shut, but at the time I thought Snitker was overmanaging. I figured, listen, you got a no-hitter going. You got a pitcher. He's only at 76 pitches right now, I believe it was. Why overthink things? And plus, selfishly, I wanted to see a Darn Larson type of moment. Now, it would have been a perfect game, but, you know, just it was just that crazy. Yet everything that Snitker has done in the postseason has worked, and that bullpen, or I apologize to PETA, the arm barn has really come through for the Atlanta Braves. Jason B. Takafin, how you doing, Jason?
I'm good. It wasn't just 76 pitches. He threw 9 pitches in the top of the 5th, and he wasn't taken out for a pinch hitter. It wasn't like in the bottom of the 5th they had a situation where they can blow the game open, they can get a good righty-lefty matchup, but it wasn't. They just took him out. He was overmanaging, as we talked about with Alex Cora, we talked about Tony La Russa, is that this micromanaging is a good thing because they know their team, they know the buttons to press. And like you said, Snitker's press all the right buttons. I also thought it was a little bit overmanaging, especially because they don't have a starter for game 4 and 5. The Astros today, just like literally just a minute ago, just announced Zach Greinke starting game 4. The Braves have not announced anybody starting game 4 yet or game 5. That's why I thought Ian Anderson was going to get a lot of innings tonight. But he didn't, which leaves open the fact that he could maybe start game 6, or he can be deployed in a 4 or 5 inning situation in game 6 also.
Now, I also admitted that it was somewhat selfish for selfish purposes because, you know, I didn't the fan in you and Jason B. Takafin, I didn't introduce him. Well, he's a regular on the show. For the record, Nevada just scored. They're blowing out UNLV. This bet is dead for us. UNLV will not be covering the number. Cleveland Cavaliers are up on the Lakers. We'll get you informed on that. But Jason B. Takafin was a 3-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay affiliate, general manager, A-ball. So, you know, just a fan in you, Jason, like, weren't you thinking, like, wow, are we really going to get, like, a no-hitter in the World Series? And even I would have not minded to see it, even if it was a multi-pitcher no-hitter, right? It just, that would have been special as well. But, you know, frustrating night tonight. But I brought it up earlier, and you can speak to it more about how much they're into analytics. But I was reading the Atlanta Braves in the first, like, month of the season. They never shifted. They didn't shift. And I don't know who it was they played, but they played someone that shifted all the time and they lost, and they made like an organizational decision. And they said, you know what? We're going to start shifting. Like, we don't shift, and we're going to start shifting. And how many freaking times in the playoffs, and I say this as a Dodger fan and somebody that's bet on Houston, how many times have we seen a ball smoked right at somebody on Atlanta? And I was thinking, oh, man, they're lucky. But it's not luck. Like, they're positioning themselves. That's analytics, right? I mean, these guys just don't stand wherever the hell they want to. Every at-bat, they know where to go, and they're being told where to go. And I got to tell you, man, the analytic department of the Braves on the defensive end that's scouting this stuff and positioning the players, they couldn't have done a better job.
No, I agree. You factor in the advanced scouting for position and Ron Washington doing all those drills for ground balls and how to play defense properly. I mean, they have their defense in order. That is a big decision. Well, that's a big asset in their artillery. You can even tell, you know, Austin Riley threw a ground ball to Freddie Freeman, and they were very, you know, from third base to first.
Made it look easy.
Very confident.
Freeman looked made it look casual.
It was deliberate. He threw a hard ground ball to him because that is a core asset. It is how they play defense. They know that it's safe. You know, I thought Ian Anderson could have. He didn't necessarily need in the bullpen. Again, 76 pitches through 5, 9 pitches in the 5th. He was starting to cook. It was 9 degrees and raining, 9 degrees Celsius, rather, 50 degrees Fahrenheit when it was raining and raining. It was going to be very difficult to hit the ball anyways. He could have gone at the very least 7 or 8. Who knows if they would have let him in if he starts against the pitch kind of the 120s or 130s. In terms of the shift, I'm not anti-shift because I think it's up for big league hitters to adjust. Young players like Cody Bellinger, for example, should be able to hit opposite field. It's one thing like David Ortiz in his late 30s is getting shifted. It's another thing when you're in your mid-20s and have a rookie of the year and a batting time and an MVP under your belt and you're getting shifted. There's not much you can do about it. That bothers me as a fan. Like, these guys should be better hitters. Look,
well, that's one of the reasons why, Jason, that Atlanta beat Los Angeles. And in certain instances, we saw Jock Peterson shortened a bat once and blooped one in the center field, did it deliberately. We saw on a couple of occasions, Albies, you know, went the opposite direction. He was just situational hitting. Remember, we talked about it. And they did it again tonight, man. There was Freeman again tonight, right? Freeman, like, just taking what he can and realizing, and Schmaltz talked about Freeman being a professional hitter and in the shift and saying, Freeman can break this. To me, it's unacceptable in the playoffs not to, bro. You know what I mean? I get it in the regular season. The agent's on the phone pitching, and what are you doing? And, you know, you're not getting paid to do that. And, like, even the GMs want everyone to swing for the fences. But in the playoffs, it's unacceptable to me, Jason, that they don't. Like, and the Dodgers did it. And the Braves do. Like, the Braves have been just, the Braves are playing fundamental baseball. Good fundamental baseball. All right, hold on, Jason. We'll hit this on the other side. Like the Dagger Masterclass. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Go on, you stupid horse. I got my last $10 on you. No, don't look at me. Run. No, don't come over here. Oh, boy.
I am crusty. No monologue, my feet hurt. I look up, I'm on the Cavs plus the points. I look up, and suddenly the Lakers are up by 5, 90-85 right now. 10 minutes remaining. We're also on the under 222 in this game. The Cavs have been leading most of the night, and the Lakers have just gone on a little bit of a run right now. The Cavs have been on a hell of a run this week on the road. We'll get back to the game, but it's 90-85 with 10 minutes remaining right now. Lakers up a 5 spot. Jason B. Takafin joining us. So, Jason, the odds are out for tomorrow's game. It's a pick 'em. Minus 108. It's a pick 'em. It just actually moved to minus 110, Houston Astros. So, Zach Greinke will start for the Stros. It'll be a bullpen game. Off the top of my head, when they did a bullpen game against the Dodgers, it was Jesse Chavez that started, just for the record. It was Jesse Chavez that started. The total is 8.5. I bet the under tonight. With the bullpen game tomorrow, I'm not really to pull the trigger on the under just yet. Updated series price right now. Atlanta Braves, minus 180. Houston Astros, plus 160. Are you ready, in the words of Rob Manfred, are you ready to give him just that the piece of metal yet?
No one's getting the piece of metal. Tomorrow's supposed to be 13 degrees Celsius, which is about 60 degrees and cloudy. I am hesitant to take the under with the bullpen game, especially with the bullpen going 12 outs tonight. And they got lucky with 12 outs. I think the Astros should have been a little bit more aggressive in the eighth inning when Jose Siri came on to pinch run. I think they should have maybe moved him around a little bit, maybe a hit and run with Jason Castro. But just to finish off game four, Zach Greinke, he's up with Zach Greinke of old. He is literally a shell of his former self. Guys were teeing off of him all postseason. This is by no means a lock for the under, especially if the weather's going to be cooperate. So I would definitely lean right now. I would lean towards the over.
Jason B. Takafin with us. Yeah, you know, I would have said Siri earlier myself. I was surprised they waited until there was two outs. Only because And I don't know if it was because Matzik's got a pretty good move, and he's a left-hander, so he can see, and you know what I mean? He's throwing heat as well. But when you consider Darnold is now, well, he's 0 for 15 in the playoffs now, and they showed the stat. He was 2 for 43 on the season. So 2 for 44, bro. I mean,
two, but it's not even that. You have nothing going. It's a one-run.
Exactly. You have nothing to lose at this point.
Your pitching staff got their first 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the sixth inning. They have bent but not broken. You have to put your foot on the gas, especially with a light.
Well, I was thinking, Jason, at the time as well. I'm like, send him, because if not, can you get Jason's level up here? I'm having he's very low. I'm having a hard time hearing him. But exactly, like, I didn't understand it because I was thinking, all right, you don't send him, but, what, you guys are going to count on getting, what, station to station here? It hasn't happened all night. You've been getting no hit. You got a bloop hit, right? So you're not coming up with another, like, two hits. You had to get him to second base, man. And then who knows? Look, he ended up getting the third. I don't know if it would have happened if they would have sent him with one out, but then the sacrifice fly comes into play, right?
100%. This is a much different series if Ian Anderson pitches game three and they do not win, because they pulled him early, and the Braves have to waste guys in their bullpen when they're looking at two bullpen games. That series price would probably be about minus 200 and more for the Astros had they manufactured a win today. I think it's a miss by Dusty Baker and the Astros. They should have been a little bit more aggressive. Jason Castro, not the great, you know, you're not, I understand with Altuve, you don't want to take the bat out of his hand, but with Jason Castro, you got to send the runner. You just do. Then you have Yordan Alvarez swinging at the first pitch in the top of the ninth inning. Like, you can't be that sloppy when you haven't manufactured anything. You also can't be that sloppy when you're not playing in that small of a ballpark like they do at home in Houston, where you can make mistakes and they still go for home runs, or they get caught in that really weird second layer of walls between the Crawford boxes and left field. You have to pitch smart. You have to hit smart, rather. And the Astros didn't tonight at all. Even when they had a little bit of a, you know, their window was a little bit bleak, and they just didn't take advantage of it.
So the MVP odds have been updated right now. For the record, so Ian Anderson before tonight's game was 55-1. 55-1. He's now 21-1. And nobody, this is a weird World Series from an MVP standpoint, isn't it? Like, who's that one guy? Like, who's, no one. No, you can't say, oh, it's like the Braves are up 2-1 because of X him. I would say, personally, if I was voting, I don't know, but I guess I can, no, he's not the MVP, because I'm counting the last series as well. But I think Matzik has been, without this guy, they're not here. I mean, he's the one that shut the Dodgers down in the eighth inning during the comeback. Yeah. And he's shut everybody down, bro. He's pitched in 11 of the 13 games.
Yeah. Matzik struck out two first ballot Hall of Famers and made them look very bad in Pujols and Mookie Betts when they were two on in the eighth inning in game six, like you mentioned. Freddie Freeman will win. You know, Manny Ramirez in 2004 won it because it's like, whatever. Everyone's pitching well. It was a sweep, you know, and it didn't really matter who won the MVP. You could have given it to anybody. Freddie Freeman will win it if it's a toss-up because he's a good guy and it's a nice story. And especially if they clinch in Atlanta, it'll be very good. And it's like sort of their, you know, the Braves have a very good legacy of lifers there. So it'll be very, like, Freddie Freeman's a very easy choice to vote for if everyone is playing very well and no one sort of, you know, runs away with the award. Right now, they have, I don't know, the Braves have so much work to do. Like, it's hard to fathom, like, not knowing who your starters are going to be for games four and five. And then even when you go to game six, Max Fried hasn't pitched that well. He's no lock. So they have essentially question marks going in for games four, five, and six. I kind of like that chaos. Like, if there's going to be a little bit of chaos, make it a lot of chaos. It was Zach Greinke pitching, unlike a Zach Greinke we've ever seen before. It makes for a lot of chaos. That's kind of exciting. Like, it's kind of exciting as a fan. You really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but maybe Zach Greinke shocks everyone, and you know what I mean? Gives them three innings of no-hit baseball or something, right? Like, as well.
Listen, maybe both of our hairs start to grow back on our head. I don't know. There's a better chance of that.
Wow.
Greinke hasn't pitched well at all. His velocity is very down. He hasn't been. I think his last good start was August 26th, and he really just he. I don't think he even made one of the rosters for the postseason.
Like, so let me ask you, then why are they starting? You're right. I think they activated him after because someone else got it. Yeah. Like, so why are they starting him then? Why don't they just go with someone else in the pen? Does Dusty think that maybe he's got something in him? What is he going to go? Why are they starting him?
Well, the first thing is he's a very good hitter. So you want to be able to start him. If you're going to start him, you might as well use him in the National League and use his bat. Which is a very weird thing to say for a pitcher, but in the Levon Hernandez, Tom Glavine, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, he's not Dontrell Willis, who like is literally could have been a DH even, but he can hit. So you want to use him in the National League, but you want to see what you have, because if he does give you three or four innings, then you're like, okay, I got that in my back pocket for Game 6 or even Game 7. You have to know what you have with him. Look, chances are there's nothing to make it seem like he's going to pitch super well or go into the fourth or fifth inning, but you never know, and you have your back against the wall, and the Astros had their back against the wall in the ALCS. They were down in the eighth inning 2-1. This is a very resilient team. They know how to win, and I know how silly that sounds. I just said they didn't manufacture a win here in Game 3, but they know how to win when their back's up against the wall. So Dusty Baker kind of knows what he's doing here.
The Atlanta Braves are now 6-0. In the postseason this year at home. And it's funny because A-Rod said after, they're 6-0 at home. They're nearly unbeatable at home. I'm thinking, well, they actually are unbeatable. They're unbeaten. A-Rod, they actually are. Like, they're almost unbeatable. Thinking, well, you just said they're 6-0, A-Rod. Like, come on, you just said it. But nevertheless.
It's good for the fans at the new stadium. Like, I guess I'm very traditional like that. You want to be able to give fans... if you're going to win, you win at home, right? Like, that's the...
the crowd was great tonight. It was louder tonight than it was against the Dodgers. Like, did you see this shot? So after with A-Rod, did you catch any of it with A-Rod, Big Poppy, and Frank Thomas? Had a real ESPN College game day. Crowd raucous. Like, the crew was acknowledging the crowd behind them and stuff. And, that's the thing. Like, baseball is hipper... You know what I mean? Like, they were cranking metal music and stuff. Like, Fox had a great little highlight reel to end the night and stuff. They do a great job with it. Like, they do. I think, and it's up to the league to sort of, like, the networks do a great job. The league needs to do a better job promoting themselves. But I think Fox was doing a great job. It was a great atmosphere tonight.
Yeah. So, Robert Manfred said something very interesting about, in defense of the Braves, baseball being sort of a regional sport. And it wasn't sort of the tone wasn't the best, but I think what he meant was they don't promote the game nationally anymore because they're very hyper regional. Each market sees, 81 home games, and it's a very intimate relationship you have with your team. If you include spring training, you obviously include road games. I'm going to read you a figure. It's from the executive vice president of Fox Sports, is that the revenue brought in by cable networks this playoffs is $50 million more compared to 2019 in ad revenue. In 2019, they brought in $131.5 million during the playoffs in ad revenue. This year, it's $180 million.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
That is an incredible feel, and I will give credit to Fox. Between this and their big noon, like for college football, they have a very good feel. They are in
a big day.
A lot more.
Listen, we'll catch up with you on Sunday. We got to get out of here. So what do you think the series is going to be on Sunday?
I will say when we talk, it's going to be 3-2. Give me Wolverine double overtime, 30-27.
30-27, bro.
When did life get so complicated?
Just a few years ago,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opinions. Everybody's got one. You know the rest. The trick is finding one that's actually backed up by expert analysis and accurate information. The word is trust. And we've got plenty of it to go around. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking it on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to the mightier 1090 and all of our glorious AM radio affiliates. Let's talk NFL football. Let's talk Saints football right now with one of our favorite guests. We're glad that he's got time to join us tonight. Mike Dettillier joins us from New Orleans, WWLAAMFM. You know who I'm talking about. Mike Dettillier. Mike, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, great time of the year, isn't it, Mike? College football, NFL football, separation Saturday, and some big-time games. So I hear everybody talking about the Rams all the time. I know Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are getting a lot of love nationally. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And I get it, there's a lot of good football teams in the NFC, but I think the New Orleans Saints are one of the good football teams in the NFC, really flying under the radar so far with their 4-2 record.
Yeah, I think they're doing it a different way. You know, when you going into the season without Drew Brees at the helm, and you weren't going to have Michael Thomas for half a season, that this was going to be a different look offensively. And, you know, Sean, I'll give him credit, man. Listen, he's come up with a new way to win. Defense, special teams, and they riding the Alvin Kamara train. It's very similar to years ago in watching Seattle win with that defense, special teams, and Marshawn Lynch.
You got to believe they need to open it up a little bit, right, as the season goes. You mentioned Michael Thomas. So you said like half the season. You know, we have Dr. David Chow on our program. It was a longtime physician, pro football doc, and he said he always thought that it was more of a week 10 type of thing, right? That it, you know, wasn't 6 weeks. It wasn't going to be 7 or 8. What are you hearing as far as Thomas is concerned and his potential return?
Yeah, I think it'll be a couple more weeks. And we had always sort of thought it'd probably be mid-season somewhere in that range. So if it's week 10, that, you know, 8 to 10 weeks into the season, that's in that number. It's just this passing attack, it really hasn't looked good this year. I think when the season's over with, I think one of the things Sean will look in the mirror and say, how did I not go out and try to upgrade this wide receiver position? And I think it's really shown up here. And they're not hitting those intermediate routes. Some of it is because of Jameis. But, man, he's hitting receivers in the hands. He had 3 big drops last week by receivers. Kenny Stills, Kevin White, who's a project player, they're still trying to – I understand you love the story, but he hasn't made any plays here, Kevin White. And then Traquan Smith, all 3 of them with huge drops against Seattle. So while Jameis gets all the blame or most of it, come on, the receiving core, other than Marquez Callaway – and Deontay Harris, when he's been healthy, the rest of them have done virtually nothing here.
That's a good point that you raised, Mike, because I think there's a perception that Sean is maybe, you know, he's scared of letting Jameis throw it around. Who the heck is he supposed to throw it around to, right? Like, who is he supposed to throw it to? And as you stated, with Stills with the drops, but he has limited the turnovers, right? I believe, 4 of the 6 games he hasn't had a turnover, which is impressive. I like what Coach is doing, though, Mike, in which it seems like on a weekly basis, you know, he sort of Belichicks it, right? All right, what do we have to do to beat these guys? Different game plan on a weekly basis. Now, they beat this team twice last year, and then they lost in the playoffs. I mean, if you guys want storylines, man, there's more storylines than like a Harry Potter movie here with Jameis taking on Arians and the Buccaneers. And talk to me about Mark Ingram coming back, Mike.
Yeah, well, with Mark, you can't give the football to Alvin Kamara, have him touch it 30, 32 times a game. He's going to get beat up just like McCaffrey is in Carolina if you continue that. And so they needed someone to come in here to have that 5 to 7 carries a game, maybe catch a pass, who knew the system. And couple of years ago, we're doing quarterback to quarterback with Bobby Aver, myself, and Drew Brees. Drew brought up something about Mark, and he was like, people don't realize how good of a pass protector he is. He said he does that as well as anyone, picking up that interior blitz or the guy coming off the edge. And he said, man, you know, that to me is worth gold, that guy that can do that at the running back position. So I think, again, you'll probably see him play a little Sunday where he'll probably get three, maybe four touches of the football, spell Ingram, Kamara a little bit. But, you know, he's not the guy here, and he understands that. The straw that turns the drink offensively for this team is Alvin Kamara, and that will continue. But he's a guy that can give Alvin a little bit of a break.
Mike, I remember a conversation we had, I think it was about 2 years ago or so, and you said you heard, I don't know if you were at a football conference, and you heard Coach Flores talking about how everybody's drafting these fast linebackers and smaller players, speed, 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 to keep up with these spread offenses. He said somebody's just going to start loading up and getting some big boys and running the ball down people's throats. And I kind of think Flores probably should have taken his own advice, actually, with his own football team, Mike, but that's besides the point. But but we're seeing this. Do you remember that conversation? I don't know. I remember it was you. You told me that, and it stuck with me. And we're seeing this more and more, man. We see it with Derrick Henry, but like, we see a lot of teams and quarterbacks, like, stats are sort of down this year, Mike, and it's more, let's just get the damn win and get the hell out of here, right? We're seeing this a lot, and I think we're going to see more and more of this, man. Run the football, smash mouth football.
Yeah, we were at the Louisiana Line Camp, which is really probably about 15 minutes from my home at Nicholls State College, and you know, you get these 50 or 60 coaches together. They got a lot of testosterone in the room. Everybody,
a lot of ideas.
Everybody's a genius. And you know, he sort of stood up and said, "Wait a minute, are you guys talking about these spread offenses and what they're going to do?" And he says, "I'm just going to tell all of y'all, we are going to get caught as defensive coaches. Because while we get smaller, you know what these offenses are going to do? They're going to pound us with that big back." And he said, "Mark my word, if we don't change, we're going to get caught like a cat puts his tail underneath the rocking chair. We're going to get caught with that." And sure enough, I think what he said 3 years ago is exactly what is happening in the National Football League. The defenses are getting smaller with all of these nickel dime defenses, and teams are running the football more. And you have quarterbacks that aren't afraid to take off and run with it. And I think that what he said has been absolutely 100% correct. While you see more of a little bit more conservative approach, and it's a wear down. I can find depth at receiver, running back, tight end, but find me depth along the defensive line and at linebacker in this league. Who's got it?
Not nobody. Many. Yeah, nobody. It's a great point. Mike Dettillier with us. So, Mike, something that caught my eye here about Tampa Bay. They score 40.5 points per game at home. On the road, they score 23.7. And let's throw in, I was talking about storylines, and oh yeah, by the way, it's Halloween. I can't think of a better place. Like, I'm disappointed the Raiders aren't playing on Halloween, but you know, the Saints on Halloween doesn't get it. It's always Halloween, right, at the Superdome. But Tampa's offense, a little bit different on the road. What kind of game are you expecting? Lower scoring, smash mouth? Because I imagine Coach Payton doesn't want to get into a track meet with the Bucs, right?
They can't, because if this becomes a track meet, the Saints are going to get beat. And I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's a 20s game. You know, for the Saints, they know their shot is this. They have to get pressure on Tom Brady, because if you play coverage, he's going to eat you alive. And that happened in the two regular season games last year. They got a lot of pressure on Brady. And Connor was falling at his feet, falling in front of him, getting pressure. And it worked. Now, they couldn't finish the deal the third time they played, but the Saints get David Onyemata back this week after a six-game suspension. When you talk to different players on the Saints team, you know, one thing virtually all of them tell you, the most talented player we have on defense is David Onyemata. It's, you know, Demario Davis might be the most productive, smartest, greatest leader they have, But they all point toward Onyemata as the most talented. So you get that big inside push from Onyemata against going to Brady, and you're going to have to. You're going to have to get that interior push, because if you're coming off the edge, it just takes too long to get there, and he gets rid of the football too quickly. And offensively, the Saints have to take advantage of a beat-up Buccaneer secondary. You got to go after those guys. And it's the pitch and catch part of the game. It's just not Winston. I know a lot of people here, they spoiled rotten because they saw Breeze do it for all those years.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have receivers that can catch it, too. And listen, I'm all for a nice feel-good story, but some of the guys they're bringing in, you know, come on, they're not playing on other teams. So they got to hit. And the Saints are 32nd in the National Football League on plays 18 to 22 yards.
Wow.
Dead last.
It's a big play league now, right? It's a big play league now.
And the Bucs are first. So I think the Bucs win this game. I think it's close. But if this turns out into a shootout, then it heavily favors the Bucs here.
Mike, we got about 2 minutes left, and we always appreciate your time. We were breaking down the college games, and I'm looking at this Texas and Baylor game. And, man, Coach Aranda's just doing a great job there with this Baylor team. A team that's kind of flying under the radar, but I know you're close to the LSU situation, so we only got a couple of minutes. But what's going on there as far as has the coaching search begun behind the scenes? I'm hearing Napier's name. You and I have talked about Napier in the past and what a great job he's done. Never thought he'd be talking about with LSU, but what are you hearing as far as the LSU situation is concerned?
Well, I do know the track record of Scott Woodward, wherever he's been, and it's always been about big game hunting for coaches. And he wants a coach to tell him no. Okay, it doesn't cost you nothing to call up on a phone and see if someone's interested. And does the agent tell you, yeah, we might be interested in that? Or you get a no. It's one of the two. To be honest, I think, for me, I would go all out after Lincoln Riley, because this state produces so many top wide receivers and pitch and catch people. I want Lincoln Riley to tell me no. He's coming into the SEC anyway. You look at Louisiana, 4 out of the last 5 years per capita, they've produced top 3 classes. This year, they're number 1 in America in producing NFL players per capita. So I think Lincoln Riley is really the guy they'd like to get. But does he tell them no? Am I satisfied in Oklahoma? I'm going to stay here? We'll see. If not, then I think Mel Tucker at Michigan State is the guy. There's a lot of politics involved with any coaching search at LSU, believe me. And you have a new president at LSU. I think that Mel Tucker is a very strong name here. But I think in this spot, I think Scott Woodward is going to throw the line out to see if Lincoln Riley would have an interest. Money will not be an issue.
Mike Dettelier.
Mel Tucker is the other guy to watch. I think Mel is a former Saban disciple. He's a guy that coached at LSU, has coached at Alabama, coached at Georgia, coached in the NFL. And he's a guy that I think could do really well. Did anybody think they would be 7-0 at this point, Michigan State? No one.
No. And I tell you what, I hope they're not 8-0 because I'm a Michigan fan, Mike. So I hope they're not 8-0. Hey, no one thought Harbaugh was going to be 7-0 either, huh? Listen,
nope.
We got to get out of here, Mike. I love that, though, man. Hey, Lincoln Riley, I didn't see that one coming from you. But, hey, you're the best, my man. Let's catch up down the road. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, Mike.
Anytime. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Now you can get the winning edge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just know and think like you do. It's made life fun. Welcome home to the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I'll get you, He-Man. I'll get you. Rocking the Halloween gear. If you missed Game Time Decisions today, it was classic with Cam. Cam was wearing his hockey gear, man, and he was squeezed into this hockey helmet. And he had this visor on. It was all foggy and stuff. It was just too good. Like, the picture, actually, like, the pictures were even funnier than, like, seeing him. Like, the pictures, right, like, I was laugh out loud type funny. Follow me on Twitter, at SportsRage. So Tony Finn will join us. We'll get into the football, baseball, a lot of big football games this weekend, including Hail to the Victor, Wolverine, Michigan, and Michigan State. We went over some of the facts and numbers earlier in the week. It's the first time that they're both ranked in the top 10 since the Beatles played at Shea Stadium, 1964. Number one movie in America, Mary Poppins and My Fair Lady. Dear God. Can you imagine? Like, man, those are some, like, sad sack movies there, man. I guess they're classics and stuff, but I got to be honest. I know Mary Poppins. She got an umbrella and stuff, and she flies around, but I wasn't into Mary. I'm not down with Mary Poppins. Even as a kid, Mary Poppins. A gallon of gas was 30 cents. It was 5 cents for a stamp. And for the record, Michigan won that game 17-10 in 1964. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they won by the same score tomorrow. I look forward to seeing what Tony Finn's going to say. Now, listen, I totally get the angle of people liking Michigan State in this football game. I mean, you have an undefeated team. They have the home field. It's a state rival. These state rivalry games are always closer than other games are, like, for the most part, unless you're UNLV. Michigan's better than they are, and I get the feeling Michigan are the real deal this year. I like the total of this game. Listen, I'm a diehard Michigan fan. I haven't bet the game yet. I will bet it, but I'm betting the under in the game, and I'll take Michigan in teasers, and I got to figure it out. Bring it.
Coming to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the sports gaming strategy.